Welcome to Let's Talk About Life, a podcast brought to you by LifePath. Donation can be a complicated subject, but it is really all about life. Spend a few minutes as we unravel the complexities of donation. Let's talk about life.
We are in autumn already, the time of year when our part of the earth starts changing in temperature and time. The once beautiful orange, red, yellow, and golden colored leaves are now falling to the ground. There's a really cold chill in the air every morning, and darkness here in Northeast Ohio due to setting our clocks back. There is a hopeful glimmer, however, as the holiday seasons approach and we spend time with those we love. But there too, not everyone will be celebrating or celebrate the same way they used to because a certain loved one is missing. Hi, you're listening to episode 160 of Let's Talk About Life. I'm your host, Colleen Gerber, kidney recipient and LifeBank staff member. Each year, LifeBank dedicates a podcast episode to talk about grief and the holidays because it's essential to acknowledge and support those who have suffered a loss. Whether that loss is recent or years ago, it changes a family and how the holidays are celebrated. We, of course, have our expert on the subject, Alyssa Berman, manager of bereavement services, to provide guidance and helpful information on the subject. Also joining the conversation is Marlene Shea, a donor mom who lost her son, Adam, on January 8th, 2014. Marlene, thank you so much for being here with me today.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me to be part of this very important message, Colleen.
Well, Marlene, you and I know each other well, and you have shared Adam's story so many times. But for those listeners that may not know about Adam, can you just tell a little bit about who he was as a son and his donation story?
So Adam was the youngest of my three children. And on January 8th of 2014, Adam became a donor and a donor hero to two people. He was just an amazing young man. He had the zest for life. He was an artist. He was a musician. And he really saw life in a different way. He thought that, you know, he could do something wonderful in this world by signing up to be an organ, tissue, and eye donor on his 21st birthday. And he had said to his fiance that, no, I could make a difference in life. I could one day maybe save a life and become part of the universe. And faithfully, 6 months later, that came true for him. Adam had struggled with the disease of addiction. And unfortunately, he had made the fateful decision after being sober for a year to use one more time. And unfortunately, that was his last time of using. And he was in Cleveland Clinic and taken care of by wonderful staff members. But miracle did not happen for Adam, but the miracle happened for two lucky women who received his kidneys and his pancreas. And his legacy continues, and his story continues until even through today.
Adam has left such a legacy, especially at LifeBank. Again, for those who may not know your story, his artwork is on the face of this year's challenge coin, which we present to people who go above and beyond in the field of organ, eye, and tissue donation. I feel like I know Adam personally just because of so many conversations, but also all the pictures of Adam that we have. And what a beautiful young man. And I'm just proud of the legacy that not only Adam left, but you and Greg and your children are really committed to and forming. It's a wonderful thing that you are out there and sharing Adam's story with others and impacting their lives. So to get back to the subject, the holidays are hard when there is a loss. You're a little bit further out from your loss of Adam, but I'm sure they're no less difficult. Can you share what the first few years were like after you lost Adam?
Well, since Adam died shortly after Christmas, he died on January 8th. Some of our last memories with Adam are of Christmas, tree decorating, and actually Christmas Day. So some of our last photos are of that holiday. So it's a bittersweet memory of that. We were coming up on our first Christmas after Adam died. And one of the most memorable moments was when we tried to put the tree up. One of our last nights that Adam was over our house, we had dinner together and he and his fiance were helping us decorate the tree. And so it was a joyous night. And we were trying to put this tree up that we had for many years, and it was just too painful. I think that we got halfway through and I just couldn't do it. So I took it down and put it in the box. And that tree remained in my basement ever since. I just went out and bought a small tree that was on a mantle and decorated as best we could and forged forward. And I think we tried to do what we had always done a typical Christmas, right? To host my large extended family. And it was just too overwhelming. And we tried to change a little bit. You know, every change felt difficult. Every change felt not what it used to be. And the reality is that the holidays are never going to be the same. But being so fresh in our grief, we didn't know that or realize that yet.
So how would you describe your holidays today? I mean, obviously, traditions that you developed with your family, as you say, stated, they're just too hard. So how do you celebrate, because you have two children, your daughter and your son, and you want to have happy memories with them as well. So how do you do that, Marlene? How do you celebrate now?
So we really had to decide what we wanted as our small family, what we wanted and how we wanted to celebrate the holidays. We changed the big tradition of a full family to just a small gathering coming over our house. Christmas was always going to be difficult. There was always the gifts that were missing under the tree for Adam. But we tried to focus on the joys and the gifts that we have in each other. Over the last several years, we have changed our Christmas in a way that we've decided that it's much smaller focus. And we've recently decided to take vacations during the Christmas season. We decided as a family, the four of us, that we really didn't need any more gifts. We didn't need one more sweater. We really need to make more memories. So we started to go on cruises and really enjoy and celebrate that time together and not focus on so much our loss, but focus on the beauty of what we were witnessing and experiencing and remembering Adam in a meaningful way by, you know, remembering that he would have really enjoyed that as well.
That's great. It's a way to be together, to celebrate time off and the end of the year and remember the holiday, but build new memories as a family. I love that. Marlene, you have, as I mentioned, you have two children, Jessica and Brian. And how did they look at the loss of Adam? You know, the loss from a parent's viewpoint is so different than from a sibling. And I'm just curious how the holidays and missing that third sibling, how did they feel about it?
Well, you know, they were just as lost as probably Greg and I, if not more so. Jessica was very close to Adam. She lived here at home. And her point was there's always going to be an empty chair. There was always going to be the present that you see at the store that you'd want to buy your loved one that you can't give to them. Things are always going to be different. And so for Jessica, you know, she felt the loss immensely. And she wanted to hold on to everything, every item in the house. It took a long time to really kind of donate some of his belongings and really just incorporate the love that she had for Adam and continues to have for him into her life. And for Brian, who does not live in our home, I think the loss of a brother is significant. He's a little more reserved and quiet about it, but he feels things really deeply. And I think for Brian, some of the changes were probably the best thing because it was never going to be the same.
Yeah.
So why try to make it the same? And change was good as far as celebrations and traditions and try and incorporate new things into our lives.
Well, and so each sibling is different and you kind of have to adjust to that as well. It is a little bit further out. It's Adam's 10th anniversary of being gone. Over the years, your grief has changed and you've become a outspoken person for organ and tissue donation. And you have really put that as a passion of yours. What advice would you give, Marlene, looking back over your grief journey, especially to somebody who's new in their grief? What advice would you give them to manage the holidays?
Well, the holidays are always going to be hard, or can be hard, I should say. You know, you can put grief to the side, but it's always going to come and find you, whether you like it or not. And the advice I would give to new families or a person doing their grief is, you know, try and do what best suits you. That's not always easy. If you have small children, you have to sort of be sensitive to their needs. But really give yourself permission to grieve and find joy if you can during the holidays. Do what feels right for you. If the big family gathering is too much, then maybe that's not the year that you do that. Maybe something a little bit smaller. Give yourself an out when visiting other people's homes. I used to drive separately, and when the evening or day became too overwhelming, I would have the ability to leave when I was ready to leave. I would say really practice self-care and watch out for your family's self-care as well, because not everybody, your spouse or your other children, realize that they have that permission to do that, to really just know when they need to step away and just take some time for themselves.
That's brilliant. I think that's brilliant. Sometimes it is overwhelming and you just need to step away. And as you say, you know, take care of yourself. Marlene, I thank you so much for your advice and sharing your experience with our listeners.
As I've always said, every time I get to share Adam's story, I always get to be a mother to him again. So I thank you for the privilege and the honor of allowing me to share his story and my family's story of our journey through the last 10 years. It's hard to believe it's been 10 years.
Yeah, I know.
The time has flown. It truly has flown. And for people fresh in their grief that, you know, this is 6 months for them or 2 years or whatever their time frame may be, that the time goes quickly. And to really just walk that journey, and whatever that means for you, just walk the journey with the knowledge that it will become softer and you will find joy in your time together and celebrating your loved one in a way that feels the best and most comfortable.
Thank you so much for your advice. Alyssa, as I said, it's such an important topic and the holidays can be so challenging for families, even when there's not a loss. That could be really a hot issue for some families. But when someone is missing because of death, it can really make the holidays particularly painful.
It's so true, and grief doesn't take a break for the holidays. I often remind families that the people around them forget that their loved one wasn't there on the day before the holiday and the day after the holiday. However, because of dates marking time, we always look at the day of the holiday that is most painful. And it's really the only time of year, if you think about it, where you go into public spaces, supermarkets, Home Depot, where over the loudspeaker, the radio is insisting that you're joyous. Getting into your car, the same thing. So grief can't be postponed until after the holidays. People have to move through it their own pace, one day at a time. And so it's really helpful if you can tell the people in your life who you love and who love you what you need. For example, you really want to talk about your loved one. It's important that you let people know that that's okay to call them by name. And do what you need to do to express your feelings. For some, it's crying, but for others, it's not. For others, it may be talking, taking care of tasks in the home. And a lot of people ask, well, what about kids? You know, do I want children to see me grieve? And the fact is we do want children to see adults grieve because they take our cues of how to feel and be in the world. And really our job is to answer their questions honestly and keep our hearts and minds open to their thoughts and feelings. As long as we can be fully present to them, they will learn how to cope and grow through losses in their lives. And that can be a gift you give them so that they don't have fear around grief and death. The other thing I encourage people to remember is to put the shoulds and obligations aside. Maybe just step away from the hustle and bustle and occasionally spend a few quiet moments alone. To also remember to breathe, which sounds kind of obvious, but if you even pay attention as you're listening to this podcast, how you're breathing, we realize we don't breathe very deeply. And perhaps you decide this year to kind of change rituals or traditions. Instead of hosting a family dinner, maybe you attend a dinner at a friend's house or a family's house. But I always say you need an exit plan. You drive yourself, you park at the end, so that if it gets to be too much, you can always decide when you need to leave. And if you're somebody who bakes a lot this year, maybe you choose to order those kind of treats through the mail. If you're someone who likes to decorate their home, perhaps it's just a small corner of the house that you decorate this year. But you get to decide what you do. I will say that if you can resist numbing yourself with too much alcohol and food, that's a healthier way to go. Because unfortunately, when we do that, we usually feel worse later. And at the same time, you don't want to deny yourself good food, good company, because you're thinking, well, I'm in mourning, so I shouldn't be enjoying this. I want you to know, and I promise you, that you can enjoy both aspects of the holiday and you can miss your loved one. And that's the whole idea and premise of living in the and, the capacity to hold two differing emotional experiences in your mind at the same time.
Do you have any other ideas what some families can do to get through this time when they may be very sad and others are joyful?
What I can tell you are there are some things families over the years that have told me that help them feel better. Families who tend to volunteer have said that when they volunteer over the holidays, they feel better. They visit lonely people, people who are shut-ins. I had a family who lost a son, and he, when he was alive, used to take pizza and socks to a particular homeless encampment. And after he died, the family continued his tradition. So if you have the opportunity to provide help for the needy, donate a gift in your loved one's name. Some people find music extremely comforting. And for those, I've had folks whose loved one loved reading, and so they would donate money to the public library, buy a particular book, and then dedicate it in their loved one's memory. Often people have found that when they sign their holiday cards, they just change the signature so it's signed from the family, the last name, and then family, as opposed to listing everyone. And people also share that rituals are incredibly helpful. So sometimes they may plant a tree or write a note. They may make a toast at their family celebration or light a candle or even prepare your loved one's food. And what I will say is even though grief can make people feel hopeless, I really want to encourage you to reflect on hope. Hope means living each new day as fully as we can, almost as though it would be your last. And hope allows us to love fully and to be in the present. During the holiday season, if you can just reflect a few moments on hope, it enables us to at least be able to be present with the potential joy of the holiday season. And when all is said and done, if you're finding it incredibly challenging, I would encourage you to do an exercise that I often do with donor families called heart-focused breathing. And all it is you focus your attention on the area of your heart Place both hands, one on top of each other on your chest, and imagine your breath is moving in and out of the heart or chest area, breathing a little slower and deeper than usual, and find a rhythm that's comfortable. When you do this and take 5 to 10 slow, deep, but comfortable breaths, and you place your hand over your heart, it helps you feel more focused and centered. And just take a moment when you do this to notice how you feel. And if you can practice this technique, not just during the holidays, but throughout your grief experience, you will notice that you are able to kind of reprogram your nervous system towards a sense of balance and regulation, which is something we desperately need during the holidays.
I love that you can do something physically to make yourself feel better. Those are wonderful ideas. It's not just pulling yourself up by the bootstraps.
Exactly.
The other thing is, like I mentioned in our opening, winter can be so isolating. And if you have guests, they have come and gone. You know, they were here for the holidays, and now they're off doing their New Year's resolutions and all of that. Can you share what is coming up in January to support donor families?
Absolutely. First, our brand new brochure will be out soon. And so for those of you who are in your first 2 years of loss, you'll be seeing it certainly by December. The very first support group of the year is going to be our child loss support group. And this is for adults of any age who lost a child of any age. And it's going to be starting January 14th. And it runs 10 weeks. So in the kind of depth of winter, you will have an opportunity to sit with folks who share a similar language and lived experience. Also in January, on Monday, January 27th, we're going to have our first grief seminar of the year, which is Grief 101. And it is, as it sounds, kind of an overall explanation and look at what you might be experiencing in general on your grief journey. We always have somebody who is farther out from their loss be a mission moment, and so they will share their story of hope and wisdom. And the evening also starts with a light meal. This year, instead of having an 8-week art group, we are offering multiple one-night art experiences with my colleague, Misty Ramos. And the first one is going to be Wednesday, January 15th at 6 p.m. at LifeBank. And the art experience is creating a board game of grief and connection. And we are hoping that this is one that adults attend, of course, but also we want you to know to feel free to bring children, grandchildren, children you care for, that this is an opportunity for us to bring families together in a way that an 8-week support group normally doesn't do. So that's January, and we then go on. We have lots of opportunities all through the year, February, and all the way through November. And I encourage you to reach out and to call, and we'll answer any questions that we can.
That's amazing. That's awesome. I'm always so proud of what LifeBank does to support our families. It's just such a, and it's year-round. It's, you know, it's 24/7. We have stuff going on, so. Well, thank you for sharing that, and I'm sure your words of wisdom will help so many out there impacted, whether their loss, there was an organ donor or tissue donor or not. You know, loss is loss, and especially during the holidays, we feel it impact us. So I appreciate your words of wisdom.
Thank you so much, Colleen. It's my honor.
Thank you for listening to Let's Talk About Life. If you have questions about today's podcast, reach out to us at info@lifebank.org. Take a few minutes to do something heroic and register to be an organ donor by saying yes at lifebank.org. Literally, someone's life is depending on it.